We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Welcome to Tuesday, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE-FM. This is Bob Arthurs, pastor of Merit Assembly of God, and we welcome you to the Refresh Radio broadcast. So thank you for tuning in today and listening to the Word of God. And today we just want to give a shout-out to Advanced Christian Training Schools. They have a free video Bible school. Meets in our fellowship hall Tuesday nights from 6 to 9 p.m. Hear amazing Bible teachers and grow in your knowledge of the Word of God, the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You have great discussion time. And so if you'd like more information on that, call 633-0432, 633-0432. So thank you for tuning in. Do want to remind you that we do have our Wednesday services this week. Next week we do not. We take that that Wednesday and give it to our families that are preparing for vacation and things like that to get their house clean, get the turkey all ready for making taste buds very happy and all that sort of stuff. But this Wednesday we do have vintage service at 11 a.m. We have our kids ministry Wednesday night, free food at 6 o'clock, and then 6:30 to 7:45 are our classes. So we're very thankful for that. This coming Saturday will be the day that we'll be distributing the Thanksgiving baskets. And that is always an exciting time for us. Then coming up Sunday, we have a marvelous service that is planned, followed by an even better fellowship dinner. This is our second best dinner out of the entire year. Our best dinner comes up here in a few weeks at our Christmas banquet. But this one here, I guarantee you, if you come and you stay and everybody is welcome, that you will not find better food any place in Brevard County, and there you have to pay for it. Here, this is a free dinner. We provide the turkeys. If you know, we do ask other people to bring in a side dish, and we normally do the stuffing and the green beans and the whole work. So there are things that I eat this time of year that I don't get to eat many other times during the year. And so this is an exciting time for my taste buds. It's a bad time of year for my waistline. And but you are encouraged to come out and be a part of that on the 22nd of November. So that'll be right after our morning service. So let's get into the Word of God. And we're in 2 Peter chapter 2. We're talking about some things that God wants to deliver out of our lives. And what he is addressing right now are people who are inside the church that are portraying themselves as members of the body of Christ, but God has told them that they would be reserved for judgment. In other words, just because they were parked inside the church building, just because they were hanging out with the right people, their life was out of balance with the Word of God. It wasn't lining up. Their character was not matching the character of God. A true Christian is one whose character is reminiscent of that of Jesus Christ. It's not just that you say a prayer, but instead that you allow God to transform you from the way that you used to behave into a completely new creation with a new spiritual DNA, a new way of acting, a new way of speaking, a new way of treating people. That's what makes a Christian. And so what Peter is describing here are people inside the church who are actually wolves in sheep clothing, and he's saying, you know, these things are going to result, if you do not repent, these people will end up being reserved for judgment instead of having a reservation at the banquet table with Christ. I would prefer that reservation as to having an appointment to be removed from his presence. So let's begin reading at verse number 12. We're moving through these kind of slowly. But we don't want any of even a residual effect of these sorts of things in our lives. Verse number 12, but these, like natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey, speaking with a man's voice, restrained the madness of the prophet. So we have been talking about how they were carousing in their own deceptions. And listen, one of the easiest people to lie to is yourself. So we don't want to do that, but these people are completely entertained. They're entertaining themselves. They're indulging themselves. And what it is they've embraced a lie. They've embraced deception. And that is very dangerous on its own merit. But then it is followed up by this phrase, while they feast with you. And so while they are embracing their deception and enjoying life with their deception all around them, they are at the same time having fellowship with believers. Now, I want you to know we are not called to isolate ourselves from unbelievers, but there is a distinction between unbelievers and believers. God said in His Old Testament that He wanted to once again make known the distinction between the holy and the profane. And that word profane simply means that which is common. And so we've kind of defined certain words and expressions as profanity, meaning that they're vulgar expressions, they're unacceptable expressions. And then all of a sudden you start looking around and you hear men saying it, and you hear women saying it, and you hear children saying it, and teenagers saying it. And what it is it has become extremely common. There was a commercial that was being discussed here a week or so ago, because somebody made a political commercial and they had children using profanity. So that's something that is now trying to be treated as common. When my kids were in high school, if they were in school, now I heard, you know, whenever I would drop stuff off for the kids, I it seemed like I made trips to the high school almost every day. I don't know how many times I've graduated from high school. After, you know, doing so myself and then getting three kids through there, I don't know how many times that I graduated, but I was all the time taking, you know, instruments or lost homework or medication or something that somebody had forgot, lunch money or whatever. I was having to take that to them. And so whenever I would be up there, I would hear, you know, boys and girls saying things that they shouldn't be saying. But if you said those sorts of things in class when I was going to school, you would get sent to the dean. You would get disciplined for that. And then when I would go to school productions, I found out that in some of the plays that they were putting on, that there was extremely disturbing things that they were putting on in the play. And I ended up addressing it with the administration and saying, whoa, what is this that you are training our kids to say profane things, just because it's in a school production doesn't make it acceptable. And so it got to a point where I was like, you know, I don't know if I want to be able to go to any of these plays anymore, because I didn't want to expose myself to those profane things. So there needs to be, once again, a standard of righteousness. There needs to be a standard of that which is holy, and holiness ought to be coming out of our mouth. So, but we are constantly called by God to go to that which is lost. But if you look in 1 Corinthians, you will find that Paul addresses how we are supposed to treat behavior inside the body of Christ that more reflects behavior outside of the body of Christ than it does that of the Savior. And so that's what's being addressed here. Peter writes, and he says, they are carousing in their own deceptions while they are feasting with you. And so there is spiritual chaos there. There is spiritual confusion that is going on in these meetings. There are some that are part of the bride and some that are part of the blemish. And so Peter says that we want to, even if somebody else is behaving in a manner that is unseemly for a Christian, there are certain things that the Word of God says, these things should not even be mentioned as a possibility among you, and yet there were people practicing. It says in verse number 14 that these people also have eyes full of adultery. Now, I'm not the brightest tool in the shed, you know. I'm not the sharpest guy around, but I do know how to read, and I do understand that when God gives us a commandment, that it is not a suggestion, it is something that is in our best interest. And in Exodus chapter 20, verse number 14, we find that the seventh commandment is, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not commit adultery. So that's something that was instituted by God. As soon as he delivered those people out of bondage in Egypt, God gave Moses that commandment to give to the people. He reminds them about it again in Deuteronomy chapter 5, and it is the same. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And yet here Peter is saying that these people have eyes full of adultery. Now, if you go into the book of Matthew, you will find, because there are some people who in modern society, that if it's not addressed in the New Testament, they just think that it's perfectly okay, that it's there's no big deal about it. But in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 27, it says, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And so there are some people now that are looking to create finite distinctions as to what does and what doesn't constitute adultery. Let me explain it to you very simply this. Adultery is breaking a covenant. It is breaking a covenant. The marriage is a covenant. And so when it says you shall not commit adultery, the primary understanding of that is you are not supposed to violate the covenant you have with your spouse. If you are a man, that spouse is a woman. If you are a woman, that spouse should be a man. And it says you are not supposed to violate that covenant that you have. You are supposed to honor that spouse that you have as a gift from God and treat them with respect. A covenant reserves special treatment for that behavior. And adultery is when someone steps out beyond that covenant and thus breaks that bond and treats another person with the same sort of attention that they would give to their covenant partner. That is adultery. And, you know, for the most part, we would be talking about that there would be sexual intimacy involved there. But Jesus goes on and explains it in the New Testament and says, look, just because you haven't been in bed with that person does not mean that you have not committed adultery, because if you are looking, if your eyes are already involved, if you have eyes full of adultery, you've already committed adultery in your heart. You've stepped out beyond the covenant and you have violated that. And you are saying, you know, I don't want to be restricted by this covenant anymore. A covenant is a restraining force. It talks about in the Old Testament that people perish because they cast off restraint or they lack vision. And so a covenant is a restraining force, but it is also a powerful force. There are things that I, because of my covenant with my wife, there are things that I do not worry about that other people would worry about. I don't have to worry about, whether or not my name was on some website, because I don't go to those types of websites because of my covenant relationship with my wife. Right now I wear on my ring finger a ring that reminds me of two things. On a serious note, it reminds me that the vows that we made when we got married, that those are still in force, and I need to reserve my eyes, I need to reserve my heart, I need to reserve, the things for my wife that I said that I was going to reserve for her, that I will love her and honor her and cherish her in sickness and in health, and for richer, for poorer, all of those things. Those are part of the covenant, and so my eye, every time I look at that ring, I'm reminded of the covenant that I made, and that I am supposed to keep my word, okay? Adultery does not enhance the strength of a marriage. It brings it into crisis mode. It really does, and it doesn't happen by accident. It happens intentionally. These people, it says their eyes were full of adultery. So I want to talk to you right now about guarding your eyes, that you make a covenant with your eyes, like it says that Job did, so that he would not look lustfully at a woman. He said, if I had done that, that would not have been acceptable. And so you and I, we need to guard our eyes. Right now there is a plague of pornography that is sweeping our nation. Ladies, I want you to know that you are not isolated from this. They want to ensnare you with this as well. And I want to remind you that is all fantasy. And the Bible says he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. It's designed to get you to compare the people that are in your life unfavorably with a mythical presentation. You know, my wife does not go around comparing my physical appearance to that of other people, because those people do not carry the same responsibilities that I do. They are on a different path. I don't go and compare my wife's physical appearance with that of others. You know what? I want to reserve my thinking of my wife for solely the things that God has placed in my heart for her. And yet there are people here in 2 Peter. So, in the first century church, there were already people inside the church, inside the body of Christ. They were behaving with eyes full of adultery. It is even prevalent now. It always grieves my heart. Listen, I don't care what kind of semantics that we play, and we try and redefine the terms. Instead of calling it adultery, we now call it affair, or we call it a fling, or a one-night stand, or all of that sort of stuff. But it is still adultery in God's eyes, and he commanded us not to participate with that. These people, it said their eyes were full of adultery. And you say, well, I would never do that, but the Old Testament describes the nation of Israel as having committed adultery against God, spiritual adultery, because they were constantly violating the covenant. And God wants to deliver us from covenant breaking. That was what transpired when they got delivered to Nebuchadnezzar and the king of Babylon. That 70 years that they spent did a great deal for causing an appreciation for the relationship that they had with God. They didn't really understand what was going on, but some archaeology studies that I have read said that whenever they have found a structure in Israel that served as a house, that they had any structure that dated before the Babylonian captivity, or when they departed off to captivity, that they had found spiritual idols in in the structures themselves. They would actually be built into the walls. And so even though we read about Israel and their relationship with God, their covenant relationship with him, they struggled with idolatry. They vacillated between worshiping God and worshiping Baal. Just because they were both called gods did not mean that worshiping one was the same as worshiping the other. There was a distinct difference between the two. And if you really want to get down to it, Baal worship was very popular because there was sexual promiscuity that was allowed and permitted in that. There were Baal worship was more compatible with what everybody else in the region was worshiping. But God demanded, Yahweh God, demanded a holiness and wanted people to live in a covenant relationship, not in an open relationship. And so he said that the nation of Judah, the nation of Israel, that they were both guilty of committing spiritual adultery. In other words, they had gone beyond the covenant. They had broken the covenant with God so that they could treat others with the same sort of intimacy that that God was rightfully deserving of. Now, back to those archaeology studies, they've also looked at studies or structures that were around after the people returned or after the 70 years that they spent in Babylon. And you know what they found? They found that whenever they excavate those houses, they don't find any idols there. They found that what happened was when the children of Israel returned back to the promised land, Cyrus sent them back with the commission to rebuild the city and to rebuild the temple. And Darius also affirmed that when they went back, their hearts had been cured of adultery. They no longer had the wandering eyes. Guys, it is very important. If this is a trap for you and your eyes get you in trouble, I encourage you, if it's something, you know, it can take place in the privacy of your home, you know, that where you're going to internet sites that you shouldn't be going to, then for heaven's sake, put parental guards on there. Protect yourself. You know, put your computer monitor out there where everybody can see it. Don't be going there in the wee hours of the morning or anything like that. If you find that this is a stronghold in your life, we're gonna talk about how the devil entraps people here in just a few phrases. So probably on tomorrow's broadcast. But if you find that the devil is using your eye gate as a trap to lure you into a compromised position of covenant violation, then do whatever is necessary. Cut off the cable. I don't care how much you want to watch the football games or the ESPNs or the Home and Garden Network or whatever. If it's being used to get you to look at things that you're not supposed to look at, cut it off. Cut it off. When I was a kid, I went with my friends to a movie, and I paid for my ticket, and went in, and about probably 10 or 15 minutes into the movie, it wasn't very long into the movie, they were showing things up on the screen that my teenage eyes had no business seeing. And so I got up and I walked out of the movie. I still couldn't tell you how that movie ended today. I said, you know what? My eyes do not need to see that. They don't. So I just encourage you today. It will be worth it. You know what will happen when you allow God to heal your eyes and no longer will they be entrapped by adultery? Your spouse is going to become better looking because you're going to have an eye for just how wonderful God has blessed you. You're going to appreciate the sacrifices that they've made, the energy that they put into loving. And quite frankly, the mercy that they have extended to you while you were struggling in your sin. I'm here to tell you that pornography or eyes full of adultery, covenant violations, those things are not to be winked at. They're not to be trifled with. Get over it. Guys, if you are going to rest, there are certain restaurants that they have waitresses that are what do I want to call it? Their uniform doesn't have enough material around it. I encourage you, just get in the car and go find a different restaurant. I assure you, there are other restaurants who serve food that are just the same caliber. I went to a conference one time, and we were looking for restaurants. This church was kind of in an area where there wasn't a whole lot of restaurants, so we just started driving, and we found this restaurant, and we didn't know much about it, and so we were headed into the restaurant, and all of a sudden we saw one of the waitresses and that was serving out on the outdoor deck area, and literally made a 180-degree U-turn, didn't take another step, got back into the car, and headed down the road until we could find another restaurant. You know why? Because I wasn't going to subject myself to that. If you need God to deliver you and for Him to bring healing to your heart and to your eyes, listen, God is a covenant God. He's not an adulterous God. The devil, he's not into exclusive relationships, but God is. God wants you to be reserved for Him. He wants you to understand that He is your provider, and He is the lover of your soul, and He is the healer of your body, and He is the one who provides, listen to this, every good and perfect gift. You are not going to be able to go to life's trash can and find a perfect gift. The devil's not interested in providing for you perfect gifts or good and perfect gifts. He's interested in providing things that are going to make your life miserable. So I challenge you today. Set your heart on God. You know what? Be content. Learn the secret of being content where you are and allow God to renew your first love. Your first love for Him and your first love for those that you're walking in covenant with. Father, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus that we would learn to appreciate the covenants that You have blessed us with. God, the covenant that we have with You, the covenant we have with our spouse, the covenant we walk in with our church. God, I pray that we would not have adulterous eyes looking for greener pastures, but Lord, we would realize that You have blessed us and You've made us highly favored. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.